One power. One power, and there is only one power. That is what this center is all about. We teach that idea. We teach you how to live from that perspective and from that idea. This is a place where we remind you every week that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So whoever you are life itself expressing. That means you are the divine expressing individually in a certain way. Individually according to who you are, according to your understanding of yourself, according to what you care about, what you value, and what you pay attention to. So we honor you and we celebrate you. We believe in you because we know who you are. We know you are an expression of the divine. The divine life, the divine world, the divine truth moving through you. And your choices of how you express that are your choices, and they are all good and very good. And so in knowing that, I celebrate you. I celebrate what you're all about. I celebrate your pronouns. I celebrate your self-understanding. I celebrate your truth. I celebrate your values. And in doing that, I know that if we were here in person, we would be honoring you for who you are. Well, we'll be looking around at you. You're out there in on the internet, so I can't see you. But wherever you are, please recognize that I do see you. And I know you because I see through the eyes of spirit into that oneness in which we all live, move, and have our being. So to know a little more about who we are and what we teach, I invite you to watch now a video about our Declaration of Principles. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. I believe. That's one of the most important words you'll ever say or think. Because what you believe, what you really down in your heart believe, not what you say you believe for other people, but what you know in yourself that you believe, is that thing which will shape and direct and guide your life and has everything to do with what's showing back up in it and what's being brought to you and coming to you. So that was an exciting part of our Declaration of Principle. It is just one part of what we teach. We teach that declaration and more, and it's all can be found on our website, cslmidtown.org. And it's also incorporated into the Science of Mind, what we call the Science of Mind textbook, which is a book called The Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, and which is the core of where many of our ideas in this teaching come from. So I invite you to take a look at that at some point. So as we move forward, I want you to have a chance to meet one of those people from that video. He is one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who expresses, who has learned how to use this teaching of oneness to shift and change their life, to manifest and demonstrate the life of their manifested dreams. You know, you hear a lot about the law of attraction. Well, the law of attraction is a small part of this truth that we teach. This oneness idea. And that law allows folks and allows each of you to attract to you that which you desire. So Lee is one of our practitioners who has demonstrated for himself that he can change his life using these ideas. He's also demonstrated that he can do that for other people in working with you or with whomever you choose to work with in this practitioner core of ours. You have the opportunity to change the things in your life that you'd like to see different and like to see be more fully expressed and realized. So Lee is not only a practitioner in our center, he is also our board president, but right now he's wearing the practitioner hat. So, Lee, I invite you to speak and take it away.
Thank you, Bob. Yes, I'll wear many hats and enjoy every bit of it. I'm actually going to be reading from the Science of Mind textbook. And I also want to tell a story. Back in 2019, I stepped down from the board and disappeared for a little bit. I wanted to do some of my own traveling and things like that. And then 2020 hit and things sort of went crazy. But as part of 2020, in June of 2020, I was in a little retreat center in northern Arkansas, and they couldn't have any people, any groups there. So I had the whole place to myself. And better than that, although that was great, I was on the Buffalo National River. And the Buffalo National River is one of the most pristine places in the United States. It was the first national river. There's now a second one up in Virginia or West Virginia. I'm not certain which, but it was beautiful. And I took a three-night camping trip on a canoe by myself. And at one point, I was just astonished with the silence around me. And I was, I just recorded the sounds of nature as I'm floating down the river with this canoe. And I had gone through a lot of thought and discovery myself. And this is a strange story because I saw this huge blue heron, maybe a 5 to 6 foot wingspan. And this beautiful bird came down, and as it came down the across the water, it probably floated at about 5 feet high for the whole distance of the river coming towards me. And it at 5 feet high for about 200 yards, and it went over and landed on a rock that was just barely big enough to land on. And, you know, I had just been thinking there's no sound out here. And out of nowhere, I clearly heard the words, "Nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you." And those words, maybe from the blue heron, maybe from my mind, told me that all is good and that the world is prosperous. And even though I may not know what is happening and why things are happening the way it's happening, it is for my good and it is for our good. So I leave that thought with you today as I read from the Science of Mind textbook on the concept back in the back where they define all the words, the glossary. There's a definition of prosperity, and prosperity is the outpicturing of substance in our affairs. That's a strange way of saying it, but everything in the universe is for us. Nothing is against us. We must know that everywhere we go, we meet friends, we love, we find love, we find human interest, and we find helpfulness. Life is ever giving of itself. We must receive, utilize, and extend the gift. We should pass it on. Success and prosperity are spiritual attributes belonging to all people, but not necessarily used by all people. I think that's important as we look at changes that go on in our lives, that we understand the concept of mental equivalence. And so mental equivalence is basically how we think about the world around us. And it's very important because all thought that we have is creative, and how we choose to think creates our personal experience. And on page 269 in the textbook, there's a line that says, "The law of mental equivalence must never be overlooked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So whatever we sow, we will reap. When we give, it returns back to us multiplied. when we speak, it returns back to us. And so it is a wonderful thing to know that we can think our way out of situations, and we can get a middle equivalence of where we want to be and where the universe wants us to be, because it will tell us, and then it will take us there. It will even go back in time and start working for us. So this teaching is quite amazing. And I want to invite all of you to stay tuned. We have a lot of good things coming up today and throughout the next few years. And one of the things that we have is the treatment, and Bob spoke of that. And so I would like to take us into a spiritual mind treatment. And it's, to me, it's always been a fancy word for an affirmative prayer, a positive prayer, much like the Lord's Prayer and various other prayers that Jesus spoke. It is an outward statement. It's helping us to set our mental equivalence where it should be. So if you would, I'm going to speak this in my world, in my single voice to myself, because I'm treating my mind and I'm creating my thoughts. If what I say resonates with you, take it into yourself, think about it, and make it part of your life and part of your future. So that's how treatment works when practitioners and ministers work with the people that come to us and ask us for prayer. So let's relax a bit. Take a deep breath and just clear your mind and be ready for new things to come into your mind that will help you and will give you a construction of a mental picture of what your life will be. And know these things with me. I know that there is one God, one power, as the song says. That God, that power created everything, and I know this. And therefore, I was created by that power. So I am one with God. God created us out of itself because there was nothing else. So I am an extension of God. I have an abundant life because, as being part of God, I am given everything that I need. All I need to do is picture it and understand it and accept it in my life. That is a law of attraction. I know that when I create a vision of a home that is peaceful, of people in my life that love me, of the abundance of love, of finance, of food, of all the things that I need, I know that those things are starting to form and manifest and fall in my way so that I can pick them up. Like the old story of manna from heaven, from the Old Testament. I know everything is in control, that God is in control of everything I need. I know that there are false facts out there that people will put up that will try to derail my mental equivalence, that will try to derail my thoughts, but I'm not going to listen to those. I'm going to listen to my truth. I'm going to listen to the truth that the one God is telling me to understand and to believe. So I put those aside and let other people believe those things, but I believe I have abundance. I believe that I have prosperity. I believe that all that I need is coming to me and more, so that I have what I need to give to the church, the center, and to other charities and to other people and to my children. I have more than enough. I know that I have enough wisdom because I'm a channel for wisdom and knowledge for those that need it, and the right words come to me at the right time. So I know all these things flow through me and are part of me because I am an extension of God. So I release these words knowing that my thought is powerful and creating a mental equivalence in my mind of a world that is a perfect place for me and those that I love. So I release these words now knowing that they all come to pass, and together we say, and so it is.
Because you do deserve it. You deserve prosperity, you deserve peace, you deserve all of the goodness that life has to offer, all of the goodness that God has to offer. So we're using the G word a lot today, and I'm going to continue to do that, but I want to just do a quick word about that. The G word, God, is not talking about some guy in the sky who hands down blessings and curses and does all those terrible things that and wonderful things that you may have heard about or read about or seen. It's not some personality or being that's just doling things out. No. The God we're talking about in this teaching, and the God we're talking about that Ernest Holmes talks about, is the power of life itself that is moving through all of us. It is that energy. It is that universal power that everyone is part of, that is the unifying factor in the universe. Everything came out of one and comes out of that one energy, that one power. That's the God we're talking about. And healing, then, is about returning ourselves and our awareness to the energy of the flow of that oneness. Because we are all created out of an intention, a desire to be certain, to be who we are, to be what we are. Not necessarily the specific details of it. There's no God in the sky with a plan for you, because there's no God in the sky. The God there is, that is real, is in your breath. It's in your next moment. It's in the right here and the right now. So when we talk about God, we're talking about that deeper inner awareness of the truth within you. That place you go when you take a deep breath and let it go and relax and everything goes peaceful for a moment. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That sense of truth, that sense of knowing, that knowingness within you that your intuition will tell you when you've stepped away from it or moved in a different direction. And if your intuition doesn't tell you, then the world outside will show you, because somehow things get interrupted. Healing is returning to that flow, returning to that truth, returning to this idea there's only one. And as Lee said so beautifully in his introduction, that everything that is part of the flow of that good. It is done for us, not to us. Even what looks like the most horrible kinds of things sometimes, they're there to simply let us see and know how far off track we may have gotten, or our families may have gotten, for those who are really, really small when those things happen then. But that's another whole talk, because right now what I want to talk about is this flow of money. Now, I know prosperity talks often are all about spirituality and other kinds of prosperity, of feeling good and all of that. And that's important. But right now, I want to talk about cold, hard cash. I want to talk about money. And my title today is Healing Your Money Woes. And I have about probably 15 more minutes here, maybe 20, to give you what you need in order to heal your money woes. And I believe that can be done. And I believe I can do it. I've done it before. People have healed their money woes by hearing these ideas and doing something different. Not just by hearing it, you got to take action as well. So I want to build this around three ideas that are absolutely necessary for you if you want to heal your money woes, if you have money woes and you want them healed. First of all, you got to stop some things, and then you've got to start some things, and then you've got to continue some things. So you're going to start, stop, and continue. And if you do this, I guarantee your money woes will heal. We've taught classes many years about prosperity and using these same ideas, and often with a guarantee that if you don't heal your money woes, if your money does not increase and you do all of these things, then we'll give you your money back for the class. And we've done that a time or two where someone just didn't have a change. And that's over many, that's over, you know, 30 years of teaching this stuff. And maybe one or two, and when we really dug into it, neither of them had really done their work. And after the class, when they stopped doing what we suggested and the money slowed down, that's when they wanted theirs back. Interesting, huh? So here's how you heal your money woe. First of all, stop saying whoa to money. Stop it. You say, well, I don't say whoa to money. I'm looking for money all the time. Yeah, well, how about when a very nice, fancy, flashy car pulls out in front of you in traffic? What's your first thought? Is it, oh dear, they interrupted my drive? Or look at that big fancy car. What do they think? Who do they think they are? I know someone in my life who says if a car pulls out in front of them, it's probably an Audi. Now, that's a resentment of the prosperity of the person owning that Audi and the ability to own that kind of car. And I have to admit, there was a time in my life when if a old beat up, run down, broken, almost Chevrolet pulled out in front of me, I had a different reaction than when a bright, shiny, flashy, expensive car pulled out in front of me. I hate to admit that, but it was true. And I had to really take a look at that and say, so am I saying whoa to money? I don't like flashy cars. I also don't like them pulling out in front of me, but that's a different story too. This is about saying no or whoa to money. Stop it. Stop doing that. Belief in lack. We live in a world that tells us constantly, there is so much good out here for you, but you can't have it. Sorry. Only the rich people can have it. So watch all these videos and learn everything you can about what rich people do to have money, because obviously you can't. And then it tells you all sorts of nonsense that may or may not be true. But the point here is we hear good, we know good, we believe in good, and then we believe even more in lack. There is great good for me, and I ought to have it. There is good for me and I ought to have it. I believe that with every part of me. Emma Curtis Hopkins said that. That was her, one of her opening parts to her whole teaching from two centuries back. You know, and so often we get pulled into that nonsense, that lie, that there isn't enough. There's not enough for me. I don't know the right people, don't know the right things, have the right, so I'm too fat, I'm too strong, I'm too silly, I'm too little. All kinds of messages. And those messages just absolutely fill our brains, and they fill us because we have believed in the idea that there's a lack, that it is possible for there not to be. You know, the other one, the other whoa money, is a belief that if you have money, you probably cheated to get it, or you did something dishonest, or you hurt other people. So having money means hurting other people. And I don't want to hurt other people, so I'm not going to have any money. That's saying whoa to money. So as you think of your life, and as you look at all these things your life is living and doing and being, and you're thinking about your money, you're thinking about how it flows, you think about the bank or the IRS, or are these other big enemies to our income and money these days, at least according to many people. You know, I'm very grateful that I have a place to put mine that will handle it, keep it safe. All I got to do is either send an email or sign my name to transfer the value of it to some other place or other people. Wow, ain't that cool? That's a different picture than saying, oh, you know, the banks are just out to get us. Maybe they are. I don't know. But they're not out to get me, because nothing is out to get me, because there's only one power. And that leads to the second part of this talk. And that is the thing to start. If you haven't already, start trusting the truth of the universe, the truth of life, the truth of this power for good that is in all of us and moving through all of us. This power for good that created you, that put your body together over 5 million or more years. You're not just a right now thing. I mean, our awareness is right now, but this body was pieced together over a long period of time of trial and error to see what worked. Yeah. Wow. Makes me stop. My brain just went quiet for a minute. It's like when I contemplate the fact that I am a forever being and so are you, and that my world and my life is created out of this one energy, this one power, bringing it forth into form and shape with ideas and thoughts and knowledge right now, then I'm going to start spending a lot more time with that idea. If there's only one power and that power is for us and nothing happens to us, but it all happens for us, that I can let go of saying woe to any money. Because money is simply a representative of this goodness of life, this goodness of God. And yeah, we need that representation in our hands and in our pockets. We require it. Need it's probably not true. We don't need it because it's all around us and we've got it. But we require having an ability to utilize it. Yeah. You don't need anything, but you require a number of things. So I'm saying yes to spending time in my consciousness and building those mental equivalents that Lee talked about, which is simply building a set of beliefs in my mind that fit together to be a grounding and a focus of attraction for what I desire. And so I spend time thinking about how rich I really am. I spend time thinking about and noting all of the good in my life. Wow. You say, oh, but you don't understand. I'm missing this and that and the other. Stop. Stop woeing your money. Because you, every time you do that, every time you say yes, but, you're saying woe to your prosperity. Every time you say or want to say, but Dr. Bob, you don't understand, you're arguing for your limitation. Stop it. Instead, say yes. I learned something way a long time ago when I was a teenager. And I learned it, actually, it was kind of preteen. And it was this idea, this thought that I learned in Sunday school. And that thought was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, that's old King James version of the Bible, and I understand that for some people that's turn off too. But translate it into your current thought and language. Seek first the inner power that is yours, the inner power that is divine and eternal and everywhere present all the time. It is all powerful. It is all the three omnis, all powerful, all present, always present, everywhere, wherever you are. And all-knowing. One of the writers of the New Testament, James, said, if you're needing and lacking wisdom, ask for it. Spirit, God itself, is going to bring that to you. Where do you ask? You ask inside. Reveal to me the wisdom of my life right now. How, where, and when do I do the actions that will continue to create the flow of life in a way that brings greater prosperity to me? Ask, not out there, in here. See, we are so prone and so trained to measure our prosperity according to what's happening out there instead of what's going on in here. Yeah. That we missed the mark. We're running around chasing. You know, one of the great analogies for this is that of a lighthouse. You know, in a lighthouse, there's the central light. That's the basic purpose of it. It sits up in a high place so people can see it. You don't hit the rocks and stuff. But the lighthouse flash goes all the way around. And you see the cliffs light up, and you see the ocean light up. And if a ship gets too close, you see it light up. And then it goes around all the way around and continues to light up whatever's in its path. But where's the light? It's not out there reflected on the cliffs. It's not anywhere else out and about, but it's in that center place, that place within where the light generates and comes from. The light of your prosperity, the light of your life, is not out there. The answers are not out there. They are in here. And it's time, if you have money woes and you're ready to stop them, to turn away from all of that out there and start looking in here and asking yourself, what is the wealth? What is the riches? What is the worth that I am? And that is bubbling up from inside of me. What is my truth? And people have really negative ideas of themselves. Pretty sad, really. Depression, sadness, self-hate. How do you talk to yourself? You know, Bob, you really screwed up this time. You're such a mess. See, in that languaging, that saying that to yourself is coming out of some kind of belief that there's something wrong with you. How could there be anything wrong with the divine spirit that's taken 5 million years to create you? Holy guacamole. Can't be anything wrong with that. It has been fined and refined and defined over many, 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 many eons. Now, you may have been told, you may have been programmed, you may still be getting those messages. You know, there's something wrong with you because you don't look like a model on television or because you can't afford this or that. I've been obsessed with coffee lately, and I've been buying way too many different things to make coffee with as if I would find the perfect one that would do it. And, you know, it was really sexy to have a Keurig a few years ago. Now it's not so sexy because it usually is, you know, it's filling up the landfills with all this garbage. But so now the new drip thing is the thing. And then there's this and there's that. There's always been something new and different. And if I'm not careful, I can spend a lot of money on those things. And what am I really trying to do? I'm really trying to get that experience that comes for me with a really good cup of coffee. That experience, that feeling of peace and harmony and, goodness, what great goodness I feel. But the goodness isn't in the coffee, and it's not in whichever machine I happen to buy to make it. That feeling of goodness, that feeling of light, that feeling of joy, even, is right here inside of me. I'm the one creating that feeling. I am the light at the center of that lighthouse. And I get to choose where I'm shining my light. Now, that wherever I'm shining it is not where the light exists. The light exists in me. But where I shine it is what I'm going to draw to me, because I'm going to be able to see it more clearly. So if I'm shining that light in me towards greater good, prosperity, which is gratitude for so much that I have, gratitude for experiences, gratitude for life, gratitude for things you can see over my shoulder, gratitude for books. Man, I love books because they're full of wonderful ideas and connect me with so many people that I would never have a chance to meet. Gratitude. I shine my light on that and I feel pretty darn good. I shine my light on all the books I haven't bought yet or read yet. Or what's wrong with me that I'm not as smart as so-and-so, or why don't I have this, or shine my light on what other people, I think other people have that I don't. You know, we have a saying in recovery that that our, most of our challenge inside comes from comparing our insides to other people's outsides, as if the outside story tells the whole story. No, it doesn't. It tells part of it. But my insides, oh my gosh. In those moments where I can be centered and grounded and know that I know that God is all there is, and it is all powerful right here in my presence, that I am in it, and all knowledge is available to me. Wow. Huh. Wow. Think about that. Take a moment and let that sink in. So choose carefully, and this is the continue part. Choose to continue shining your light, putting your energy and focus, your mental equivalence, the things you choose to believe in, into those things that you really, really value. Wonder. You suppose I could have that same sense of joy and peace if I drank tea instead of coffee? Sometimes a really nice cold glass of water on a hot day gives me the same thing. What's the real value there? The value is looking for that sense of peace and joy and that sense of I'm okay in the world, I'm taken care of. Wow. See, too often we are just dragged along by all the stuff we're being bombarded with that are telling us to do this and to do that and to feel that and to think that and what to know and how to know it. We're up against, you know, massive computers that are constantly listening to everything we say and do and everything we put out there anywhere and then telling us what we really want, whether it's true or not. So what I'm saying is we need to continue to turn to that truth and power within and then continue to live and choose based on our values and based on what matters to us. What are your values? What do you value? Do you really value the next shiny thing? Or do you value the feeling that comes with it? See, we got to separate these. We got to turn away from the thing out there that seems to have the light and turn within where the light exists, right here. One quick and simple way to begin to get a look at that and see how it is affecting your money is make a list of those values, what really matters. And then go through all of your spending and say, is this supporting these values or is it working against it? One of the easy things that happens nowadays is that we can get all caught up. I don't know about you. I love apps. I have to face up and be honest. And so I get caught up in spending apps. And I buy apps and it's $5 here and $2 there and $3 there. Well, I totaled them all up recently and went, oh my goodness, how much am I spending every year on apps? Some things that I don't even look at, but maybe once or twice. And so let go of those things which don't match your values. But you got to pay attention. You got to really look where the light is shining and see where you're shining your light and see where you are, what you are doing, whether it matches or not. So I just leave you with these three. Take a look at what you need to stop. Stop woeing your money. Stop doing those things which say no to money in any shape or form. Start turning within and knowing that this omnipotent power is yours to use always, and you use it by how you think and believe and feel. And imagine. That's how you use it. And then you create that avenue through which, that light through which the awareness and the receptivity of those wonderful things that you call good come to you. You have this power. It's available to you because you, my folks, my friends, my dears, whatever words you want to use, you are wonderful. You are expressions of the divine. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're any less than that. And don't you dare tell yourself you're less than that. That's the truth. I let it be, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm beyond grateful for having the chance to stand here and talk and say what I think and feel and believe and offer good ideas for you every week. I'd like now to introduce our Mr. Everything. He takes care of our electronics and what have you, and he is also our treasurer. So, Vamps, you want to talk about money?
So you can unmute yourself. There we go. So thank you, Dr. Bob. That was awesome. So we get in that life of flow, that wonderful talk on prosperity and bringing life, money into our lives and getting that circulation. So with that circulation, we have a way to donate. You can donate online at cslmidtown.org/donate or scan the QR code and say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now I'll turn it back to Dr. Bob for a special announcement and have an awesome week.
Thank you, Vance. All right, so I do have a special announcement, and that's why I sort of cut myself short today, tried to. The life has brought many changes to me this year, these last few years, and I am very clear in my mind that it is time for me to take a break, to step back. So I am retiring from Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. I have been leading centers for the last 50 years. It is time to take a break. It is time to stop. I'm having a hard time with that idea of retirement, but I'm doing it because I need it. The center needs it. It's that time. This whole announcement has come out in our newsletter. I hope you saw it there. If not, and you're hearing it now for the first time, that's okay. I welcome your responses. I welcome your words as we move forward. Know that my making this decision is in no way means that Center for Spiritual Living is going to cease to be or cease to continue, because it is a life far bigger than mine and has continued to have that life far bigger than mine. So I have real mixed feelings. I'm really sad, and I'm really going to miss the people here, the people I'm connected to, the people I've come to love. And I will keep you in my heart and mind and prayers from now on. You'll always be a part of me and part of who and what I am as I move on to whatever retread or retirement might look like next. I will still be active in Centers for Spiritual Living, but I won't be leading a center anywhere. Thank you for this. Thank you for all of the wonderful times we've had together. I will be here through the end of October. So this is not my last talk. I will be around in three talks in October, the first Sunday, which we always have in person. I will be there for that. And please plan to join us with potluck at that time. And that's the first Sunday of October. And then the last Sunday of October will be my last Sunday here. And Lee, now our board president, is going to come and tell you a little about what's happening after that.
Thank you, Bob. We are going to miss you greatly. And I remember I was actually vice president of the board when Paul Gagne told me, and I was the first to hear, that he was looking to retire. And I had the same feelings when Bob told me that he was looking to retire. I had left for a little bit and come back. As far as being in the board, I've always been connected to the center here, and I always will be. And so we have a team that was put together about 3 months ago to help with transitioning. Bob had not decided when he was going to retire, but he had decided that he was going to retire from CSL Midtown. And what we have done is this team actually has a detailed plan on how we are going to keep the services going, keep the center running, keep things going. And we will be bringing in guest speakers until we get a new minister. And those speakers are connected to us through CSL. And so it's, they have a whole system to help us be successful in transitioning the center when a minister leaves. So I just wanted to come in and reassure everybody that we're still here. We're going to keep going. Also to ask everybody to keep coming to the services and keep giving donations to the center. We are going to have some more emails coming out. We're finalizing things. The team has been meeting every week, and so for almost 3 months now, and it's just a great team. And if some of you would like to be on that team, we could use some more help. Especially one of the areas where we need some help is someone to lead the marketing effort for CSL Midtown. And so I would like to put that request out there. We are going to be putting together an interview team. And so we'll be looking for people that have experience interviewing, and we'll be selecting a handful of people. It's not going to be 20 or 30 people. And then we'll also have a way of getting it down to just a few candidates that will be interviewed by the larger team. And then the board will be making decisions as to when they come on board and how that works. So a lot of exciting things happening. These are all good things. It's good for Bob and Reverend Dean, and I will miss him greatly. I'm sure that he and I will continue to be connected since we're both here in Atlanta. But I just wanted to reassure everybody that this is amazing stuff that's going on. It's all positive, and you have a good team taking this forward. So I'm complete, and I'll turn it back to Bob, I guess.
Thank you. Wow. All right. Breathe deep. There's a lot of information to take in a short amount of time here. However, I do want to add one thing. It is the whole congregation that hires and fires the minister. The board will make recommendations to you, but if you are a member and are part of, or if you would like to become a member, go to our website and take a look and decide whether you want to do that. The quick and easy way to do that is to pledge to give something every month, every week, whatever you can do. That will help to put you on the membership list. And we need to get as many of you who are engaged and involved on that membership list as we can, because you will be deciding, you will be the ones who will decide who the next minister will be, even though all the background work will be done by this committee, the search committee, and then the board. But then two or three candidates will be brought to you to choose. That is not a process this center has done before. I'm excited on behalf of the center for you to have that opportunity this time to really choose your minister among the choices that might be available at that time. So please stay involved, keep contributing, because this, all that you see that we're doing, bringing in new guest speakers, all of those things cost money. And there's a great flow going on. Now, I failed to even talk about the other part of that whole flow, because I talked about money coming in. Money going out is one of the ways to prime the pump for the money coming in. Do that. Consider it. And consider us a place where you would give freely, because this is a place where the truth is spoken. Join me, if you will, now in our closing affirmation, and we'll read it together. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. See you next time.